Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Filling, the Premier League. It never disappoints, does it? Oh, my God. We are so, so lucky, by the way. Arsenal scored another last-second win. Those celebrations at full-time, that is what we want to see. That is the beauty of football. I think Arsenal are going to do it this year. Other massive wins for Southampton, Wolves and Chelsea. Oh, and Man United suffered their biggest defeat in 92 years. I said that right, 92 years. Liverpool 7, Manchester United 0. We're joined by the main boy himself, Thogden, absolute legend. Oh, and if Mark will get from behind the back of the sofa, he's here too. Right, obviously, there's only one place we can start. It has to start at Anfield. Marky boy, thanks for joining us, mate.
All right.
You're wearing this today, aren't you? You're wearing this today. Intro, like I just said there, biggest defeat in 92 years. Talk to me about the 7-0 drubbing yesterday.
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, I can't be bantered. I can be bantered, but I can't be bantered.
Unbanterable.
I'm unbanterable. I'm not going to school. I'm not going to work. Look, at the end of the day, this is what supporting your team's all about. Stand up and give it back. And that's the whole problem with United yesterday. They didn't stand up to the defeat. It was cowardly. I'm not going to go hiding. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Pin your shoulders back, yeah, mate. Keep your head up high. Yeah. You wear it, yeah?
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. But ultimately, you only get 3 points for it. We've already won a trophy. We will get top four. We still need to buy players in the summer. We need to get the Glazers out. And, we, you know, but it's devastating. It is. 7-0 is just not acceptable. I can't find words for it. And I think, unlike certain pundits on the telly, I think that, you know, Liverpool have to be given credit because they could have just gone 2-0, we've got it. And they absolutely saw an injured animal and they just mauled us. And we just gave up.
Thogden, I'm going to talk. We want to talk about Liverpool in a minute, right? But first, we've got to talk about Man United because Man United were a shambles yesterday, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I was actually at the game.
Yeah, how was it? What was the atmosphere
it was
like?
Unbelievable. I think a lot of people say that the Anfield atmosphere is overrated for Premier League games. That's I can debunk that rumour. That
was
myth.
It incredible yesterday?
It's unbelievable, mate. It was just, I was in the main stand. The cop never stopped singing. You'll never walk alone. You felt from the first moment they were going to win the game because they were up for it. How they went from conceding 5 goals against Madrid just in their last game at home to turning it around, keeping a clean sheet, scoring 7 goals against United in the biggest game in the Premier League. I feel like the fans were the perfect 12th man in that game. I know we're meant to be talking about United, but I just want to give credit to Liverpool because they deserved that. It's been a very tough year for them and they showed the character on and off the pitch.
I was buzzing. I won't lie, I was buzzing with Liverpool a little bit because I've got Mo Salah in my team and I've got Darwin Nunez in my team as well. And the points that they gave me yesterday absolutely saved my game week.
Differential, wasn't it?
Differential.
I had all
massive.
Three. I had Robertson, Nunez and Salah.
Oh, you absolutely cleaned up yesterday. We're in the same YouTuber league, by the way.
And you and me.
I think we both got the same amount of points. 72 points.
72,
I think we got.
Mate. 72, shake on it.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you, mate. Thanks a lot.
Right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to Man United. I want to talk about individuals, all right? Because most people would have watched the Gary Neville and Graham Souness and the little sort of banter and stuff. And by the way, Gary Neville did not wear it very well yesterday, did he? Like, I agree with you. You're supposed to be a bit impartial after games, aren't you?
Yeah.
So either way, whether you're Souness or G Neville, you've got to be a bit impartial and see it for what it was. But there were individuals in the game yesterday for me, for Man United particularly, who I'm not happy with, me. Body language, Bruno, for example, shocking yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think, look, in fairness to Gary Neville, I think that's just the petulance that maybe some people have. You know, it came across as really unbiased, and I think that's just the Man United player hating losing to Liverpool and just going, no, I'm not having it, I'm not having it, I'm not
and
having it.
And he had two, like, Liverpool smurfs there, just sort of smirking at
and
him.
And Souness was poking him big
he
time.
Was, wasn't
he was,
yeah.
But look, I think the way out of that is to accept that actually, you know, you've got to take all the banter, you've got to take all the criticism, and you've got to individualise it, even though collectively, I mean, you were talking about Martinez, he didn't play well, Luke Shaw's a player. Look, I look at the players I like. I like Anthony. He's been criticised a lot. Disgusting performance yesterday, call it out. Rashford, I really like. Disgusting performance. Bruno, massive fan of him. Disgusting performance. But Luke Shaw as well, massive fan of him. Terrible. Casemiro didn't look right. Varane wasn't right. Maybe he was carrying the injury before the game. Martinez, so much. I mean, look, what annoys me is you get Carragher coming out. Oh, I told you about Martinez. I told you. And you just knew. We're in March. It's March. And he's now got his game where he can go, I told you Martinez was shite. And he's like, he's not. He's just had a really bad day. And I think individualising it's easy. But what I do not like, and I know you're going to say something about Bruno as well, is that when I look at the general mainstream, it will always be De Gea, it will always be Martinez, it will always be Bruno, it will always be Anthony. It will never be Luke Shaw, it will never be Scott McTominay, it will never be Marcus Rashford, because we don't go in on the English or the British players.
British bias, you reckon?
There's a massive British bias, it's always there.
I
agree with Bruno. I haven't seen it, and I know that apparently he has to come off, and he is the captain. Our win ratio with Bruno is fantastic, but I'm not for individualising it, but I do think that everybody's open, really.
So, I don't know if you've seen this clip, Theo, where Bruno's obviously captain yesterday. His body language, by the way, was shocking throughout the game, like finger pointing and arm waving and all that kind of...
He does it every game, though.
When I see players do that, honestly, it's the worst thing you can have, as a worst trait you can have as a player. Like, when the chips are down and you're waving arms and pointing, basically deflecting, saying, it's not my fault. It's not my fault I've done this has happened. It's rubbish, though. As a captain, you can't be doing that.
It's true. But at the same time, there are games where he's vital at doing it, winning free kicks, getting in the face of the opposition, winding up the teams. And United have had some very big wins this season where Bruno has come away with the away fans absolutely hating them, but United fans loving it. It just didn't work out.
He does do it every week.
He does it every game.
But Gary Neville had a pop at him as well, so you're in good company.
Damn right as well. I think obviously having played the game, knowing what it's like in a dressing room, when you play with those sort of players who finger point and arm wave and mate.
It's hard to play one player though.
I just want my captain to lead. And even if you are losing 5-0, go, come on, let's go.
And the camera tells a story, because the camera probably panned in on Bruno and it panned in on Rashford after one of the goals, and he's just staring there with this blank face of anger. It's just like that. And I'm like, it makes him look a little bit, it makes him look a bit arrogant. And I'm like, well, he's been really good for us in recent weeks. Martinez got put on his arse by Salah. That makes him look shit.
Get put on his arse, didn't he? He kind of slipped a bit, but still, when you've got Mo Salah dribbling at you with his little quick feet, oh my God, that's hard.
If it's 2-0 and you play like that, you're gutted, but you move on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that annoys me, is it should have been 2-0 or 3-0.
Shut up shop, boom.
Shut the shop down. We were going to lose yesterday. Liverpool get the credit. People played bad. It's inexcusable that goes from 2 or 3 to 7. That's the thing.
There's no
excuse. You can lose, but
you have to say, Manchester United, they've been travelling loads recently. Yeah. They've had European games. They went down to Wembley for the Carabao Cup and Premier League fixtures. Busiest time of the fixtures.
But it's the biggest game of the season, though. You've got to find that energy.
I know. And also, 7 goals is inexcusable. Like you said, if you're 2-0 down, you shut up shop, you take that result, you move on to next week, creating it to 7 goals. You know, that as the goals are increasing, you're just thinking, how are United accepting this?
Have an energy drink at half-time.
Yeah.
They lost 6-0 in the second half. I think they mixed the energy drink up with a few pints. They were absolutely...
talking about half-time, two goals came in straight at the start of the second half, and in the Liverpool section, loads of Liverpool fans were still finishing their beers. The score went from 1-0 to 3-0 when they walked out.
Aww.
Yeah, they missed two goals.
What was it like after the game? What was the atmosphere like after the game? Was there no trouble or anything like that?
Of Liverpool fans being very loud outside the ground. You know, some fans don't even have tickets. They've come to the ground for the party. And at United, they're all hoods up, kind of scared. There was two United fans in the section in front of us. They weren't celebrating any of the goals, and they walked out in like the 70th minute. They gave in. They were just in the Liverpool section. They didn't celebrate one goal. And me and my dad were like looking at them for every goal, just seeing their reaction get worse and worse. A bit like you on your live stream, really.
Just getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, let's just give Liverpool a little bit of love. We're going to move on to the Arsenal game in a second, but we've got to give Liverpool a little bit of love, because we did a United stand video before this, Ogden, and we were talking about Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I think yesterday was probably one of their best games of the season yesterday, wasn't it? Both of them doing what we know that they can do, sort of looking like threatening when they go forward, but defensively very, very good. Andrew Robertson in particular yesterday was just a Rolls Royce, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he opened the first goal as well with that pass to Cody Gakpo, and I feel like there'll be a lot of deleted tweets about Gakpo after that game. He fit into the role perfectly. Same as Darwin Nunez with that header with the decisive second goal, which led it to 5 more in 40 minutes.
I saw a couple of the finishes yesterday, particularly from Gakpo and the header from Darwin Nunez, where I thought, actually, I'm having that. I think you look like you've got it, you know what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? Whereas before, like you say, the deleted tweets and stuff like that, I've myself seen them this season a few times and thought, you look a little bit like you're lost in the headlights a little bit. Do you know what I mean? But I saw a cutting edge to them yesterday that I was happy with.
We can't deny that Liverpool on their day can beat anyone.
Yeah.
I still think their midfield's weak, but ultimately, I'm going to use this opportunity because I'm fed up of going, stick by Potter, he'll do well. I'm fed up of saying Nunez and Gakpo are good signings, they'll be good. I'm fed up of saying stick by Arteta. It always comes true. So today, Manchester United will come good and they're going to win the league next season. Give me some of that juice that I keep giving to fucking Nunez and Gakpo and everyone else.
And it's coming true.
Yeah. I also said Liverpool will get top four.
You did say it was top four. We've got, I think we've got a £5 bet on this, haven't we? Yeah.
No. Add a couple of zeros.
What's the bet?
We've got a little bet that earlier on in the season I said Liverpool won't get top four. Absolutely no chance. He's adamant. He's stuck by it. And now they've got a better goal difference than Tottenham. And if they win their game in hand, they can go into the top four. They found the form at the right time.
They'll do
they've
it.
They've not conceded 100%. For four games as well.
And you see Newcastle and Tottenham, they're dropping howlers recently.
Before we move on to the Arsenal game, by the way, I've just got a few stats that I want to... read out about Mo Salah and Liverpool, because this is absolutely bonkers. So, Liverpool's aggregate score against Man United in their last 10 home games at Anfield, Liverpool versus Manchester United, is Liverpool 36, Manchester United 2.
Jeez.
In the last 10 games.
This is a good time to announce that he went on my predictions last week and said Liverpool 1, United 3.
So they're winning 3.5-0.
Every single game, pretty much. That is absolutely bonkers.
Where did you get
bonkers.
The belief from?
The who?
The belief for United to win.
Look at the league table. Look at the trophy cabinet.
Top Fair four, enough. Just won a cup.
Just beat Barcelona home and away.
I've got another stat for you. This is an absolute belter as well. Since joining Liverpool in 2017, Mo Salah, he's got more yellow cards from celebrating goals against Manchester United than Manchester United have goals at Anfield.
Should have been sent off yesterday to take it out of top off.
Did you see how ripped he is, by the way?
But we had a good reason to be breaking the record. It's an important moment.
Yeah, it is an important moment. Fair play. Mo Salah was on fire yesterday, by the way. That's vintage Mo Salah, isn't it? That's what we want to see from Mo Salah.
But so was Andy Robertson. So was Trent. Firmino.
Everybody.
Fabinho. A lot of these... I'll guarantee, if they can do it next... I think Man United... They played well, but that's Salah's best performance of the season by
a long
way.
I'll say this now. If Liverpool play like they did that day, they can create a remontada in Madrid. Nah. I feel like...
Create a what?
A remontada. What's comeback. The famous remontada.
You're so beyond your years. You're about 40 years old, you are,
3-0 is what they need in 90 minutes. No, to take that game to extra time. No more away goals. People write them off, but the way they played that day... I've seen Barcelona. They went to Santiago Bernabeu last week. They won 1-0. Liverpool on the day are a much better team, much more exciting, attacking fluid. I know you're crossing your head. I have a feet. I will go to that game.
They're a bagel, mate. They ain't got a midfield.
Harvey Elliott yesterday was a polemon with Fabinho. I thought it was perfect.
Do you want a fiver on it? No chance.
The odds. Come on, we need to have a good deal with him. I'm just saying it.
No, Liverpool will get top four, but they ain't ready for Real Madrid, unfortunately.
I've got to agree with Mark on this one.
You guys will be memes when it happens.
All right, come on, let's move on anyway. Arsenal, let's talk about Arsenal. What a win for Arsenal, by the way. 3-2 against Bournemouth. I was listening to the start of this game on the radio and kicked off here at Arsenal. I said, oh my God, that is ridiculous. And they played for it, by the way. They've done it. Have you seen it? The way they kick off, they know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to get it out to that right wing as quickly as possible. Get the cross in, get in the box. Fair play to them. But Arsenal, to come back, win it the way that they did, is just... I think that's what you need sometimes. Do you know what I mean? You need that little bit of just finding a way to get over the line. It was incredible, wasn't it?
You can't afford to drop. I think they would have been 2 points ahead of City if they'd lost that game. And obviously, they've got to go to City. At some point, they're going to drop that 5-point gap. You can't lose it at home to Bournemouth. You know, no, they've got to go to Newcastle. They've got, you know... I think they deserve massive credit. And I didn't watch the 3 o'clock, so I'd watched the Man City game. And I think I went out in the garden playing football with Seb for an hour. And I turned it back on and... It was 2-0 to Bournemouth. I actually tweeted what the hell was going on with Arsenal, because I know we're not going to win the league, and I'd rather Arsenal win it than Man City. But then as soon as they got that goal, I was like, you know, they'll do it now. But really, they left it quite late. I thought, bloody hell, they're not going to do it. But then you could see their game was still going on. And you know, you've been around Man United when they've won titles. These sort of games do happen. I think some people are unrealistic. They think you're going to win 3 or 4-0 every week. There were always these types of games.
For sure.
The thing is to win it, and they did win it. And I think it wouldn't, you know, 4-0 or 3-2, you'd probably get more out of that than you do out of a 4-0.
Oh, yeah, the buzz you'll get after winning a 3-2 last minute like that. Well, you saw it the full time, the way they're celebrating. Everybody, like the whole dugout, everybody warming up, sprinting onto the pitch. That bit there is what I think will get them over the line this season.
Yeah, I was very pleased Bolton was an early kickoff on Saturday because I got to watch the game. Well, on radio, of course, as we all do on the Saturday 3 PMs. But no, Arteta, he's
no dodgy streams round here, Pogden, all right?
You're not catching me on here.
Don't watch it, all right?
But just listen to it and you hear Billing 9 seconds in, get that goal. You know about tactics from being within a football club. But the way Arsenal came back, they look like Premier League winners now. Yeah. They're doing it week in, week out. Arteta's created an aura where players, even off the bench, like Reece Nelson, are having an instant impact. He was subbed on the 69th minute. He got an assist for the equaliser in the 70th. And then scores the winner on his weak foot, top bins, 97th minute.
Some finish with the left foot. That's
the perfect story. And it reminds me, actually, when Leicester won the league, they had players off the bench like, I don't know, Damari Gray, who had an instant impact, got the results that they needed to win the league. I'm seeing the same at Arsenal. So I agree with you. I think they're going to win the league.
Mm. Do you know what this does to Bournemouth, though? This is an absolute dagger, by the way. Because even getting a point away at the Emirates, right, for Bournemouth is, it's a bonus point.
Massive.
I still think that's a competitive... I still think Bournemouth might take some positives from that because it's still a very unsurprising... I mean, we're disappointed, but it still shows that how competitive this league is.
I think it does, but I think it takes a wind out your sails massively, mate. If you're 2-0 up going into the 60th, 70th minute, whatever...
And still then a loss, innit?
Yeah. Like I say, the 2-2-all would have been... even though you'd have been a bit disappointed, you're winning 2-0, you couldn't hold on, whatever, but then to go and get nothing with the last kick of the game.
Isn't it to Spurs at their place as well? They've done it a few times this year.
Just sort of melted at the end, didn't they?
Yeah,
but I'm happy with Arsenal. I do. I think they're going to do it. Do you think we're going to win the league off that?
Spot. I said it with Michael Owen this week. We both said Arsenal going to win the league.
Oh, just been hobnobbing with Michael Owen, yeah? Just as you
Heschel.
Do.
Being in a football challenge.
Bet you learned a lot there.
Ballon d'Or winner, you know. Give it to me.
Football challenge.
We did some headers and volleys. It was just some little...
Michael Owen trying to get a moving about that.
He's lost his weight. I'm telling you. He's in good shape now.
Have you ever seen that Michael Owen thing when he used to play football and there's that nine-year-old goalie? And he's not giving him anything. He's smacking him again. Have it.
In your face. Yeah.
Well done, mate. He's 12.
Absolutely smacking him in. I'll tell you what, though. I'll give it to Michael Owen. He's a very riveting pundit. He's not... It's bang on.
I like it. We're giving people banter today.
He's giving it out for a bit.
We ain't giving him no banter today about, you know, we're just saying the facts. It is what it is. And yeah, you're coming for everybody today.
Spiky.
Horrible, man.
But I think, personally, I want Arsenal to win it. Man City do worry me. They've got the experience and there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, Man City seem to be coming into a bit of form as well.
We'll talk about it in a bit, but Man City worry me. But Arsenal just got to keep doing what they're doing.
Shout out to Rambo, by the way. Massive save. You probably haven't seen this because you won't appreciate it like I did, but he made a save. Oh, it was beautiful, lads. They've cut the ball across. They've got two Bournemouth players coming in. Just finish it, lads. Just finish it. He's read it. He's out there like a demon. Blocked it. Oh, beautiful. They go on, win the game 3-2. Ramsdale, you're the boy. We're going to go Brighton against West Ham.
Brighton,
for me, honestly, if they carry on doing the way that they've been doing, De Zerbi's going to have to be in the talkings for manager of the season at the end of it. I know he probably won't because it will go to Arteta or whatever, but Brighton this season, I would hate to play against Brighton. If you're Arsenal, Man City, Man United, Liverpool, you're playing against Brighton, you're worrying, aren't you?
I'll take it one step further. I'd hate to be a fullback coming up against Matoma. Yeah. That guy, university degree in dribbling. Bloody hell.
We're very,
he
very
started
good.
It winning that penalty.
Yeah.
And then he ended it with the goal at 3-0. He's the perfect player. And the fact he was 3 million. Someone asked me, what was the bargain of the season with a player who had the most, who's had the most effect on any team in the Premier League? I always say Karim Mitoma.
Yeah.
The fact you picked him up from a club in Belgium, 2.5 million. I saw a spark him in the World Cup, but he's brought it back to the Premier League. And now he's doing it every single game. Is it an FPL team?
Of course he's in my FPL team.
He doesn't miss, was he? I didn't have him.
You didn't have him. And you got 72 points as
well. And I called it as well. I said he'd. Please, just stop roasting me, man.
No. So, yeah, Brighton, though, they are. They're like absolute flames. West Ham having a bit of a shambles at the minute. We'll talk about them in a second. But Brighton, you'd worry. If Man United had them next week, you'd worry, wouldn't you?
It's not an easy thing in the Premier League to predict that Brighton are going to beat West Ham. It's quite easy, but it's not an easy thing to then go and beat somebody 4-0.
Yeah.
And I think Brighton are unbelievable. And it's only because they're Brighton that they don't get the focus. We probably don't focus on it as much as we should do.
Yeah,
and they certainly don't in the mainstream. If they win all their games in hand, they're fourth. Ridiculous. And the last few weeks, we've been talking about Brighton are so unlucky. They've had this goal offside. They've dropped points in their last three that they should have probably got.
Yeah.
So actually, if they win their games in hand and they had the points they should have had, they'd be in the top four. They are literally one of the most dangerous teams in the Premier League. I think if you drop them into Serie A or La Liga, they'd be in exactly the same place because they play a brand of football that is transferable across Europe.
If they had an out-and-out striker, they would, wouldn't they? They would. They're a bit like Chelsea in a sense, where they can do. They just batter teams. They dominate teams. Probably Chelsea actually don't even do that, to be perfectly honest with you. But they are. They're battering teams. They're just not putting the ball in the back of the net. But it all fell in place on Saturday.
But you talk about out-and-out strikers. They've got this 18-year-old lad, Ferguson, the Irish lad. I tell you what, he's not. He reminds me of Shearer, but Shearer wouldn't work in the modern day because Shearer was he didn't have the link-up play and everything like that. He's got power, he's got pace, he's got finishing ability, and he's got the link-up play, and he's only 18. I think he is a player I would love to see at Manchester United.
He's been he's been DMing him, telling him to come on United.
Yeah, get yourself out.
I swear he has.
I haven't. Anyway, we'll move on. And I don't get into anyone's DMs. But the reality is, I think they're fantastic. I'd love them to get European football. I'd love them to get top four.
West Ham? Talk to me about West Ham. Because on this show, right, Theo, every single week we say, West Ham won't get relegated. They're currently 16th in the league and they've just been pumped 4-0. I thought he was going to get the sack on Saturday, by the way. And apparently they've come out and said, like, no, your job's safe for the meanwhile. But what's going on at West Ham, mate?
Well, we forget and they just beat Forest at home 4-0.
Yeah.
And then I'll give it to Mark, got him on predictions. I said, has Moyes turned a leaf here? And he said, absolutely not. He should be sacked. And then they got battered 4-0 at Brighton. So fair play.
Did I?
Yeah, you said that.
I'm going to contradict myself.
You've done well there. Moyes is...
I don't know what I say day to day.
You do that many interviews now, mate. You don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think you're right. His job's on the line. And if results continue in this fashion... Who have they got next? Who West Ham got next is Aston Villa. I think they got Villa at home.
A big one, a six point to one.
Villa on form as well. They won their last couple games. Ollie Watkins on fire. I think that could be the final straw for David Moyes.
I know what I said. Because I said I wouldn't sack him now. I'd sack him in the summer. 100%.
I did.
100% sack him in the summer. But I wouldn't sack him.
You weren't positive about him though. You did.
No. I think he's got to go. But funny, I was doing my Talk Sports show on Wednesday, on Saturday, and West Ham fans were ringing in saying, "Get rid of him. Get rid of him." And I said, fine, it's your club. Who are you going to get?
Yeah.
Because there's no manager that's keeping you up that's available. Moyes has been in that situation.
Yeah, he's done it.
It's not going
to
be pretty. Yeah. And I know you hate it. It's a bit like what I've said about Chelsea. You don't change your manager now. Get to the end of the season. And 100% Moyes has got to go. But he's probably the right man to keep you up. Yeah. It won't be pretty, but he probably
is. I agree with you. I think even coming to the end of the season, I don't think they'll sack him. I think it'll just be an amicable parting of the ways. He'll understand the situation. Yeah, yeah. They'll understand the situation. Let's go our separate ways. We'll go and try and move on from it. Managers run their course.
If Dyche was available, I'd do it.
Oh,
if Allardyce was in his prime, I'd do it.
We all
Maybe
love
even Allardyce. Tony Pulis. There ain't no one
Big
like
Sam.
That.
Yeah.
They're talking about Michael Carrick from Middlesbrough. Don't go anywhere
Big
near
Sam
that
Big Sam makes
job.
Antonio score 20 goals.
Oh, 100% he does. I guarantee. Right, you mentioned Chelsea there. Let's move on to Chelsea. Massive win for Chelsea.
Potter in.
Yep. They needed this bad boy, didn't they?
Yeah.
So where are they in the league at the minute? 10th Chelsea are... They're still a bit, here and there. But they got the win. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and you can see Todd Boehly was celebrating in the end there. Must be very happy to finally... I think it was a 6 winless run, finally with 3 points. I think this is a message to anyone that says Potter out and wants, I don't know, Jose Mourinho to come in, all this nonsense. I think I don't listen to your football opinions. Because if you're a Chelsea fan and you've just spent 600 million...
A lot of people think the same of you.
Probably they do. And if they don't want to, they don't have to listen to me.
Yeah.
But I have an opinion here and I think Graham Potter needs to be backed. He's not had a proper pre-season with all the new signings. I thought he was good at Brighton. And I think he will thrive at Chelsea. I actually feel like they'll turn it around against Dortmund midweek in the Champions League too.
Yeah, massive game.
Everyone's jumping on the gun. Right now, managers have the impossible job. We've seen over the last decade, managers get sacked twice as quick because there's too much money in modern football. There's less pressure for owners to sit there and be like, oh, we can't sack him because of the budgets. No, you can sack him, bring someone else in. Sack him, bring someone else in. It's becoming an impossible job. I would hate to be a manager. I would not do that job. You're used. You're not seen as a human anymore. And that's why I think you've got to back Potter, give him a proper pre-season, let the players join in and understand and build. They've got something there. It's just going to take time.
And next week on Questions.
I know,
very political answer there.
Wow. Do you think it's a good one? Do you agree?
I do.
I totally agree. I do. I'm with you. I think I disagree in the fact of I would take the job, though, because I know that if I'm getting sacked in 4 months' time, I'm getting the payoff like you wouldn't believe, and I'm absolutely buzzing for it.
Yeah, but it affects you, doesn't it, for your future jobs?
Yeah, maybe.
I'd do it as well, because I think I've got an ego and managerial. It's like,
Can I just say your pinned tweet as well?
Yeah.
Great managerial team talk. Fire me up.
But I do think the treatment of Potter's unfair, and I do think you're right about pre-season, and I do think it's ridiculous. They defend quite well. They just can't score.
Yeah.
He's picking Havertz every week. It was crap. Every time I watch them, he is absolute crap. But Potter's intelligent. Chelsea fans are going, why does he keep picking him? You know, because he's probably on training ground each week and going, that's the best one I've got. Yeah. That is, I mean, you know, I think it's so difficult. And also, it's the same with Moyes. Who are you bringing in? Because no way is Pochettino, Jose Mourinho, Luis Enrique or anybody else walking to Chelsea in March, they're going to go, I'll come in the summer. So you've got what you've got. Give him till the summer.
It is what it is. Leave it as it is. Yeah. There's no point in rocking the boat now. Just leave it as it is till the summer. The, like you say there about the scoring the goals, Chelsea 24 goals in 25 games this season.
It will come.
Yeah. That is how, that, I don't know if it'll come this season, mate. I really don't. You can't get to 25 games into the season and then go, oh, we'll start scoring.
Defensively,
now.
They're very good, though, aren't they?
Yeah, very good. 25 conceded in 25 games.
Watch Felix against Dortmund. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah?
Watch Felix against
Dortmund. Yeah, to be fair, they battered Dortmund in the last one. Again, they just couldn't put
they've
hit the
got the forwards,
the net.
They've got the players. It will click.
That's the game. If they win that, I think you'll start to win the fans back.
Well, we'll see. We will see. Man City, I want to talk about them. I watch this game. You watch this game. Yeah, go on, talk to me about
it. I'm fuming with Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle fans on social media are not that nice, but I've always been quite positive about Newcastle, even though, obviously, they have won the lottery. But the reality is, and, you know, fair play, if you've won the lottery, enjoy it. And but they're just almost, like, that was appalling on Saturday. I thought in the Carabao Cup final, they were a little bit unlucky. They played quite well, but United game managed it. They had top four on lockdown. And for some reason, well, explain this. Why have Newcastle fell off? I watched them on Saturday and Man City weren't very good. They were there.
They should have
at least got a point. Both goals were mistakes. Trippier's pass out from back on the second one. The first one, someone said to me, it was Messi-esque by Foden. It wasn't. The door's opened. He went into it.
Put
he scored
wide
it.
And
three
it.
Of them, the terrible defender. That fucking Gordon's not worth 40 million. He's rubbish.
Bit disrespectful, though. It's a pretty good goal.
No. Credit to Foden. But what I'm saying is, defensively, I'm like, Foden, Gordon's not gone with him. Burns too slow. Gomez is scared about the penalty. And Botman tries to tackle him. And it
You're
goes
in the whole half-empty glass thing here.
No.
Foden did a great run. And he's trying to break into the team. A lot of people have given him stick online. He came away with a great goal and an important game.
I'll give him the credit, but defensively that never should have happened. Yeah. And I'll give Man City the credit for winning a game when they weren't very good. But Newcastle should 4 or 5 big chances. Either they missed him, Callum Wilson, Longstaff, and you just go, there was a result there for Newcastle.
I love this today, lads. I'm feeling a bit of like angst.
They won't get top four. They're not.
The great thing
top
is about the Premier League right now: relegation battle, European spots, title race. Everything's locked for grabs.
Newcastle are gone. Top four gone. Head's gone.
Gone.
For
gone.
Newcastle, right, if they don't get top four, which I think they're going to struggle to now, the worst thing they could do is go and get fifth or sixth, honestly, because the Europa League for them is like, not. If they get Europa Conference League, oh my God. You're back in at like the end of June, whatever, do you know what I mean? You get no holiday whatsoever, you're straight playing games, or you just do not
it's
need
probably
that,
good for the league, though, isn't it? What do you think about this? It's probably good for the league for Newcastle not to get top four, because as soon as they do, that's when their money
the big
can
balls.
Be spent.
Yeah, just to respond to you, it's funny you hear that from a player perspective of like having a very little break, but as a fan,
they'll love it.
If my club went to Europe,
Newcastle would love
they'll
it.
Love it.
The fans, Newcastle Geordie's, fans would love it. Yeah,
it's all it is. My dream as a Bolton fan, when I went to Atletico Madrid as a kid, that's like the peak of my Bolton fan experience. Like going there, beating Aguero and Forlan, we won. Like we knocked them out. Like that was my pride.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day Bolton will have a European tour again. A few years ago, to think that Newcastle were even saying that it's a bad thing that they gain Conference League. Like imagine the perspective a few years ago.
It's mad, isn't it?
And they are, again, what? We're talking Newcastle properly as football people looking at it and going, they've sort of blown it a little bit. What's gone wrong? It's disappointing because they were so good at the start of the season. Almiron fell off a cliff.
Massive,
so many of them. But to be fair, a lot of Newcastle fans would be here going, we're really happy with what's going on. We're loving it.
Would,
we're living the dream. I think they are. Fair enough.
I think
enough.
They are that team that they're enjoying the away days, you know what I mean? The trip out to Wembley. And like you say, even if they get into Europe, I guarantee you from a club's perspective, they won't want to be in the Europa League. They won't want to be in the Europa Conference League because it takes so much of a toll on the team for the rest of the season. I promise you it does. It takes so much of... You have to have two very good starting 11s, basically. You need a massive squad to be able to do it, to actually try and compete. And then it will... It it'll just tire you out. It tires players out because you're playing Thursday, you're playing Sunday, and it's just relentless. In that form, it's absolutely relentless. But Man City quit. I just want to mention Haaland because he's my without doubt nomination for shit house of the week this week. It was incredible. Did you see this? They had the little ruckus, and he's giving it to Big Dan Burn, and even Haaland's looking up at Dan Burn, and he's making out like he means this, and he's wanting to have a little fight and stuff. But then afterwards, he's purely laughing.
Wasn't
in his face.
Going up to the fans like this, like firing them up,
giving
as well.
It all that kind of thing. You just see him smiling.
It reminds me of Scott McTominay, does that? not very good. But yeah, then there's a fight and he gets involved because it's like everyone will go, ugh.
Yeah.
He's the latest member of 1D, Erling Haaland. One dimensional. He's very good at what he does.
It wasn't a
bad
assist.
He's so one dimensional, though. He's world class, but he's one dimensional.
Yeah. He's changed Man City a bit. Anyway, come on, we're going to move on. Wolves, Tottenham. Listen, as a kid, right, I was a Tottenham fan. As you grow a bit older and you play football, you kind of lose your allegiances a little bit. You know what I mean? You have an affinity for the clubs that you've played for. That's just the way that it goes.
Put a different shirt on every week.
By the way, I will always wear a different shirt every week, by the way. I don't care who I wear. Apart from Wolves, I won't wear a Wolves shirt, right? I've just put it out there. I'm sorry. I won't wear a Wolves shirt. But I was a Tottenham fan as a kid, right? And for me at the minute, it seems like it's a bit of a weird one being a Tottenham fan because you don't know what you're going to get from one week to the next. Antonio Conte's still not in the country yet. They're very good on telly one Sunday. The next week they play against Wolves, and I could see this result coming. I really, really could. Tottenham are lucky, don't get wrong. I think they bit the crossbar twice. Really good free kick at the crossbar. Wolves go and win it in the end, though, and it didn't surprise me, Theo.
Adam Atroro, what finish as well?
What a finish. I don't know if he meant this, by the way. Have you seen this finish? It is a ridiculous finish. Like, it is in the top of top corners.
Well, his first goal in 20 games probably didn't mean it.
Yeah.
No, but fair play to him. And I think the problem was, we saw Antonio Conte, best of luck to him with the surgery and everything. He won Manager of the Month, but he was on the touchline for one game.
Wow.
And they lost 4-1 to Leicester. And he wasn't there for Wolves. I feel like you do need a manager there to get the players going again. Yeah. And I think the players, because of the manager not being there, they're starting to look at the bigger games like Milan. They've got Milan midweek. They need to turn it round to the Champions League. Yeah. That's the biggest game they've got. So it's very hard to motivate them when you're going to Wolves on the weekend. Mm. I think they're blowing it for them, top four. With Liverpool around the corner, they need Conte back as soon as possible and fix it.
So boring. They're so boring to watch. And to be fair, I know it's not controversial because I know Spurs fans feel it as well. They're such a boring team to watch. Apparently, there was a story over the weekend that Spurs won't renew Conte and Conte wants to go, and it feels like that. Fair play to them for actually being in a top four race. I don't know how they've managed to get into it because they're such a. And you knew that game was going to be. I was surprised there was a winner. I would have gone 0-0 all over.
Tottenham.
I think Tottenham will just fizzle away, though. I think they will. They'll carry on this form to the end of the season. They'll win one or two. They'll lose one or two, draw one. And then they'll drop out of the Champions League places into sort of fifth, sixth position or something. Liverpool will take over and they'll just go on a storm run now. And that is a seriously disappointing season for Tottenham, isn't it? From where they were earlier on in the year, looking like it was cemented that they were going to get top four, and they've just fell off again.
Also, as well, they buy players like Pedro Porro, they don't pick him. Jed Spence, they don't pick him. Bissouma, they don't pick him. Richarlison, they don't pick him. He buys all these players and then they don't pick them. It's weird.
And then they have defenders that play every week, Lenglet and Eric Dier, and you just think, is the money invested in the right spots here? Mm.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, before this week, before the Leicester result, they were top two in form in the Premier League. How do we describe that?
Wow. You know what? They're an Italian club. We said this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. It's like Italy traditionally, Italy in major tournaments will baffle you how they get to the final or the semi-final every tournament. And Spurs are the same. I don't know how they are where they are because they're such an uninspiring team to watch.
Let's move on then, lads. Yeah, Southampton, Leicester. I didn't really see this one coming. Leicester, again, one that I just can't pin down at the minute.
Maddison was useless. He made his return and he was invisible.
Really?
And you could tell that Southampton were going to win that game. From the penalty, Ward-Prowse missed it, fine, but they kept their heads up. Alcaraz, what a finish, by the way.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Fantastic.
Argentinian, I think it's his second goal for the club, signed in January. But what is he thinking? He had to get a knee scan after the game because of a knee slide celebration. He's injured himself. Nowadays, too many footballers are getting injured from knee slides.
Celebrating.
Yeah, no, knee slides alone.
He's just relegated Southampton, hasn't he?
They're buggered.
Like the manager, to be fair to him, I've got to give credit, Ruben Selles, he's turning it around at Southampton. You can see when they scored, all the players are running to the manager, trying to hug him
and stuff. That's nice, that, yeah.
You feel that.
That means something, that, you know.
It's a shame they didn't bring him in first, isn't it?
They wouldn't have been doing that to Nathan Jones, would they, mate? No. Definitely wouldn't have been running
to him. No, he would have been pushing him away and going,
it's me. I did that. I scored that goal, all right. What was I going to say about Southampton then?
Knee slides.
No, Wardy. I had Wardy in goal, by the way. Fantasy
oh,
Premier League.
No.
Sorry to keep bringing Fantasy Premier League up. I had Wardy.
You got 11 points.
Of course I did.
I kept starting. I got a clean sheet. I'll take it.
Right, here we go. We only got a couple games left, you lot. By the way, unfortunately, we've got no mystery shirt this week. It didn't get delivered in time. Jamie, it's your fault, by the way. Absolutely in the mud, Jamie. There, they just didn't arrive in time. So there you go. They'll be back next week. Don't you worry about it. Two more to go. Then we've got the quiz. Forest, Everton, 2-2. Go on, get into this one. Because this is a good result for Forest. A bit, I'd say it's disappointing for Everton, this one, because they were winning until late.
Yeah, winning twice, weren't they? And but Forest are good at home.
Yeah.
Was it Johnson got two goals, didn't he? Probably not a bad result, really, on the predictor for everybody.
You go
like that, keeps it interesting. I do worry about Everton a little bit, because Villa loss, draw at Forest, 1-6. I think they've got Chelsea, Spurs,
tough,
and
real
Man United
tough ones
next.
Coming up in the next few weeks.
And you can write those off and go, anything's a bonus. But this is, for me, why Everton didn't sank Lampard quick enough.
Yeah.
Because there were games that I think Dyche would have won, like Southampton at home. His first two games, he had Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah.
And he got three points out of that.
He's
now got these three. Your running's what it's all about. I still think he'll keep them up, but it's so tight down there. And Forest are just sort of keeping themselves... Forest home form could keep them up.
Yeah, can I just say, to go there and get a point is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Did you see Dyche's second goal?
No.
Oh, Fozzie, you'll love it. Watch it. It's like proper Dyche ball. It's like, they take
a goal
kick.
I've seen the goals, yeah.
Tarkowski's
goals,
on the right wing, heads it on. Michael Keane's on the edge of the box, heads it on.
Decore
taps it home. Go 2-1 up, limbs in the away, and Toffees fans go, well, obviously they bottled it to Brennan Johnson's top left corner.
It was a lovely finish, that, by the way.
Seven goals now.
Bodies in front of him, just helped it round him perfectly.
The two lowest scoring teams in the Premier League with an absolute cracker. I listened to it on the radio off to Anfield. I was loving it.
Well, look at this. We'll put a graphic on the screen now, guys. From Nottingham Forest in 14th, which I'd probably say is the cut-off line. Wolves are on 27 points, but I think Wolves will probably have enough. From Nottingham Forest in 14th position on 26 points, down to Bournemouth in bottom on 21 points. It's 5 points separating 20th to 14th. That's why the Premier League never fails. Like, honestly, this season in particular, I think it's one of the best, one of the most exciting, because there's something for everybody. Nobody's getting cut adrift. Nobody's winning it clear at the top. There's always little battles all to play for all the way through.
I want to see some That's Football live streams for these relegation dogfights, man.
Yeah, I want to see some of these.
You always
do
the big games.
No, I will do. And I think the last game we've got to do, if I'm predicting, is Villa Palace, which is the
final
only
game, Villa Palace. Come
only
on.
Mid-table game in existence now.
That is
that's
exactly
how good
it.
The Premier League is, because everyone else is either going for the top four or going for the title or going for relegation. And actually, Villa might very soon be getting themselves into the European spots, because they're doing very well.
Mate, they're
two wins
sneaky.
In a row.
They are really sneaky, sneaky. Mm. Don't get me wrong. They play 25 games, so they're in 11th. Villa are
same as Chelsea, isn't it?
Same as Chelsea. Brentford in 9th. They're only a point above them, but Brentford have got two games in hand, and so do Brighton as well. But for Villa, this is job done. Mission accomplished. 34 points. You only need four or five more to get probably safe at what they say the 40-point mark. But this is good season for Villa so far.
That game wound me up, mate. Like, I've got Watkins. I signed him on FPL. I had one transfer. I switched in Watkins. I don't know. I sold Mitrovic. And I was waiting for that ball. Matty Cash crosses it in. I'm like, yeah. It's coming through. He's going to score. Like, he scored every game. Joachim Anderson, what are you doing, mate?
Oh, jeezy.
I was raging. That would have been the perfect differential. No one has him.
Nobody
He's
does.
He's brilliant.
That.
He's scoring goals every game.
I think he scored four out of his last four, has he, or something like that?
Yeah, something mad.
He's getting in the
FPL show. Boring.
I know, sorry about this.
Boring.
Anyway,
no pre-season, no signings in January.
Yeah.
Emery's doing a fantastic job, fantastic coach, and exciting.
European tour.
Well, why not? He's got that in the summer. See what he can do this year. Doing a good job.
There you go. Simple as that. Let's go and have the quiz. All right, everybody, it's the football filling quiz. Theo, I don't think you've done it on this format before. It's basically fastest finger first, all right?
Let's go for it.
10 questions.
Simple.
Let's go, Jamie.
Let's go. What is the nickname for Derby County?
Rams.
Wow, that was quick. That was a quick one. All right, next one. How many goals did Messi score in his record-breaking calendar scoring year? The closest wins.
Oh.
So you're all getting answers.
And this includes
one.
Argentina goals, doesn't it?
I believe
in
so.
A calendar year.
Calendar year, yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't want to jump in. I'm nervous.
Mark's got a number in mind.
I'm gonna go with 60.
Okay.
I don't think it's that many. 52.
Oh, it's definitely more than that. I know it's more than that. I'm saying 61 because it's nearer. It's more than 60.
91.
Oh my god!
Messi scored.
I had 72 in my head as soon as that question came out, and I thought that's why I didn't want to jump in first. Yeah.
Are you serious? Wait. Yeah. Leathers. Wait.
91. What? In a calendar
year.
In a calendar year.
I thought it was season. Year.
Even that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's bonkers.
I had 69 in my head. I don't know why.
Hey, I like it.
All right, next question. So what? 1-1-0. Yeah. Wayne Rooney made his debut in a 3-1 loss against which club?
Fenerbahce.
For England.
Yeah.
I said England debut. Wayne Rooney made his England debut in a 3-1 loss
it's
against
not my time,
which
lads.
Club?
This is your time to shine.
Germany.
Nope.
You were probably playing. Nah, England, innit?
Oh, gosh. This could be anybody, really.
Yeah.
Anybody half decent. I'm going to go for France.
Nope.
Austria.
Australia.
I didn't even give
it
an answer.
He didn't even get an answer. What's wrong with you, Quizmaster?
He said it's before. Not. He said
shocking.
It's not my time and didn't bother.
He was going to get it anyway. We're going to get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get it.
Not having it.
Fair play, Dogden.
Who did you say?
I said Germany and then I said Austria, but it was Australia.
Good
Australia
eye,
never would have got that.
Lost 3-1.
Wow!
If it was cricket,
1-1-0.
Let's go.
Who was Chelsea manager between June 2004 and September 2007?
Mourinho.
Ranieri.
Yes. Mourinho.
Oh,
so gosh. We're even. 1-1-1.
Come on. Actually, technically, you should have said the second tenure as well.
Yeah.
That's what threw me.
I'm not having it. I said it before the end of the question, so
comments will be on my side.
1-1-1.
Which player had the career path of Anderlecht? Chelsea.
Mini company. No, it's not! Why'd you say it? Why'd you jump in, you...
Lukaku.
Let's go!
I didn't even...
Let's go! Let's go!
I'm getting all the Chelsea ones right.
2-1-1.
One?
This comeback, this remontada.
Oh, Jamie!
This remontada's ending up on TikTok, seriously.
Jamie's got a sore throat today. He's been out of the weekend.
Deirdre Barlow's risen from the dead.
I apologise.
Kang!
Which Arsenal striker scored in 6 seconds after coming on into a game as a substitute during the North London derby in December 2007?
Wilshere. Fabregas.
No, you only get one answer.
You can't just go saying names.
Who came on after scoring?
Van Persie.
Nope.
Thierry Henry.
Nicholas Bentner.
Lord Bentner.
I wouldn't have got that, but fair play. It wasn't Fabregas. I swear he came on and then ran through the team.
I think the answer says Bentner.
No, but do you remember the Fabregas goal? Do you remember talking about?
He scored after 6 seconds after coming on as a substitute.
Yeah, definitely not Fabregas.
It was his first touch anyway.
Next question. So no one got a point on that one. So 2-1-1. Which team scored their 1,000th Premier League home goal this weekend?
Liverpool.
Nope. 1,000th Premier League home goal this weekend.
Man City.
Correct.
Oh, that was big. That was so big. That was a massive point. 2-2-1. 2-2-1.
Gorbachev mud.
Not one for 3 weeks.
I'll win.
Three questions left. Which Premier League striker has made senior appearances for both Brazil and Spain?
Costa.
Correct.
Oh, I knew that as well.
2-2-2.
So good.
Did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wolves Costa.
No.
Yeah, Diego Costa.
Diego Costa.
Ugly one.
Ugly one, did you?
2-2-2. This is unbelievable. Down to two questions.
Which team scored the only own goal this weekend?
Oh, Palace.
No.
I talked about it.
It was Anderson.
Joachim Anderson, Palace.
Aston Villa.
Oh, Palace. My God, what am I doing?
No.
Yeah, but I said
it was Palace who scored it.
No. We both don't get that.
No, I would get it first.
No, because it's Villa. You said the
what
wrong
team
club.
Scored the only own goal?
Aston
Anderson.
Villa. Because I haven't said Nancy yet. Aston Villa.
No, but he gave it. And you said we go to the next question.
Wow.
I'm only getting interest in here because it's close.
If Carragher scores an own goal, it's a Liverpool own goal.
Yeah.
It's got to be Anderson.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Probably gets a point.
Oh my God.
I can't believe this, Jamie.
I can't believe it.
We both get it. I went Anderson. If you win this, you win with an asterisk.
No, I don't.
Like Liverpool.
You want a point for being second place.
I'll give you that. Palace scored an own goal. It wasn't Villa who scored an own goal.
Yeah, it's just in my brain. We went 1-0 up, so it was like
I understand, Jamie. Don't worry.
I got you, Mark. Don't worry.
3-2-2. Oh, come on. Don't let him win again.
Who is the youngest player to get 50 goal involvements in the Premier League?
Rooney.
No.
Theo Walcott.
No.
Oh!
You got... This is to make it even.
It's so easy as well now. I think about it. So obvious.
Youngest
goal involvement. You should have got this.
Premier League.
Stop giving him hints. It's obvious.
If you don't get this, Saltwick wins.
I'm going to whisper it to you.
No, you're giving too many hints away.
The youngest player in Premier League history to get 50 goal involvements.
Yeah. First.
You don't know it.
I do know it.
I'm going to have to give you a countdown.
Come on, Fuzzy. We need a countdown. Timer.
Five. Four.
No. Hold on. This ain't fair. You can't count down it.
Give a plan.
Lukaku. Get in!
It's Rashford, isn't it? It's
Ronaldo.
Michael Owen.
Oh.
Michael Owen!
Legend of the game, by the way. No, legend of the game.
Mark Goldridge wins the quiz.
What?
God!
No, he doesn't. 3 out of 4. No, he's not won in 4 weeks. That's been the football quiz.
That is bollocks.
Sponsored by Mark Goldbridge.
To win on that question as well. Oh, my God.
I'm with you, mate. I don't think he should get that. He said Palace. The answer was Villa.
No, it wasn't. The comments were back.
Who scored the only goal of the weekend? What team scored the only goal with the own goal of the weekend? Crystal Palace. Yeah, Anderson. You can't turn it around.
Well done, Mark.
Thank you.
Lads, thanks for joining me. Theo,
I need to see you. Losing 7-0.
Maybe we'll see you all soon. I need some football filling.